another Netcast production brought to you by the Fancy Pants Gangsters at FancyPantsGangsters.com.
It's time to cool it out, baby.
Oh, yeah! Twin Cities Tank, live from the State Fair. No, we're not.
No.
Yeah, I'm Pete. Over there's Mr. Brent.
Hey, babies.
How you doing today?
I'm so good.
How are you, Brent?
I'm really good. No, seriously, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm good.
I think you are lying to me.
Fuck you, Pete.
Fuck off. Already. Jesus, fuck.
5 seconds in and we're getting a divorce.
Yeah. So, State Fair. Are you going to go to the State Fair, Brent?
Yeah, I went for the first time ever last year and I liked it. I went with you.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did. We
saw some girlfriends.
We saw some shitty rock cover band.
Yeah, drank a lot of beer. Whatever.
Sure.
Fuck that noise.
Yeah. Well, what we got going on today is we have Jim Blazer in the studio.
Resident wrestling technician.
Resident wrestling expert. Because we needed him here because our guest of honor is wrestler Pete Huge.
Hey, fellas. What's going on? Thanks for having me.
Pete Huge. Yes.
I'm good.
He is the Playboy Pete Huge.
Playboy
Pete Huge. Playboy Pete Huge. Nice. Yes, the one and only.
God. You should be wearing one of those little bow ties.
No, that's,
with no
that's
shirt.
Kind of gay.
No, well, whatever. It's going to get wicked gay up in here.
Well, okay. Well, I kind of had that feeling.
Yeah, like, that's the main guess you're into right
all
now.
All the doors locked from the outside.
I name of the game. Wicked gay.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, so what have you been doing lately? Did you wrestle this week, or how often do you wrestle, actually?
You know what? I haven't actually wrestled for a couple months, actually.
All right, well, it was nice having you here.
Yeah, see you guys. Thanks, you know, it was nice. No, last time I wrestled was, I want to say June, but it's summertime. I'm not a big fan of wrestling in the summertime. I'd rather go to Twins games and such, but, you know, it's just the way I roll right now. But I got a show coming up on September 11th, so that's a couple, you know, weeks.
Never
from
forget.
Now.
Never
America,
forget
man,
that day.
Right? Yeah. Obviously.
So when you get like a summer off, do you have like, you have a day job? I'm assuming.
I'm a bouncer too.
Attaboy. Okay, yeah. So wrestling takes a back seat to having a fucking party time, and then when you get back into it, I mean, do you go balls out? Do you how often do you train?
I usually hit the gym, I don't know, like 3 or 4 times a week. That's about it, you know.
Even in the off season?
Yeah, in the off season, just to keep in shape, you know.
Jesus that's Christ, he's going to beat the shit out of me, I guarantee it.
Maybe not you, but Jim, for sure. Yeah,
I'm
absolutely.
All for that. I will special guest referee that fight and count him
Jim's
out.
Getting his ass beat today.
Hopefully.
I mean, happened before.
September 11th, what's the score of that?
That's at Biff's Sports Bar.
Oh, ah, yeah, we played
Biff's
there.
Biff's gets a lot of plugs
yeah,
on
remember,
this show.
Yeah, remember?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a quality establishment, from what I remember.
I didn't know. Yeah.
We wrestled there, God, like maybe last year, I think. And it was like some tent show, and it was freezing cold out. It was terrible.
Ah.
I wrestled some chump named Brody Hoofer. I don't know if you guys know about him.
Yeah, he was
we
on
had him
here.
On the show.
Yeah.
He had some choice words about you. I'm not
yeah,
gonna lie.
He
I'm sure
yeah.
he did. He's probably a sore loser. You know,
did you kick his ass?
I always kick his ass. I mean,
do you?
Yeah, it's
Let's
ridiculous.
Let's be honest. How many times do you guys fight? Wrestle?
God, me and Hoof? We've been wrestling. We had our first match against each other in 1999.
Holy shit. So, and what's the record? What's the current stand?
I don't even know. It's
402 to 1?
It's me up by a lot, I'll tell you
okay.
that.
A lot?
Okay. Yeah.
But wait a minute. As I recall, he's got belts right now, right?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean everything.
Okay.
You know,
that's
it's nice to have, but
non-title
know.
Matches are really in nowadays.
Oh yeah,
is that the ones where
like
you guys,
the
like,
new black,
like a fucking guy comes in on a jet ski and everyone gets disqualified, and is that Jim?
I want to see a match where a guy comes in on a jet ski.
Maybe the old Nitro days when they used to do
oh
that,
yeah,
like...
when they used to do the Panama City with the moat around the ring.
What about a moat around the ring?
It's been done. We
before.
Did a show in rural.
Were there sharks in it?
Rural Wisconsin,
moat
one time,
sharks.
Where I shit you not, at the end of the show, some bikers. Bust through, like came in like the bar, and they two bikers came in like loud as hell,
on
and like
bikes?
Drove them on the bikes, drove them to the ring, and we were all like, "The fuck is going on here? This is ridiculous," you know. And apparently in Wisconsin, you can do that.
Did you go? It's not real.
No,
you son of a bitch.
No, you got to say kayfabe.
Yeah, right.
Sorry.
Wait,
what? Damn it!
Wait, give us some wrestling dictionary. What the fuck did you say?
I know that.
That's
you
know,
the fourth wall, right?
More yeah, pretty much. It, you know, it's a
it's rise to fake pick Latin kayfabe.
Yeah, it's you know, the line between reality and wrestling, I guess you could say.
It's like living your character. Like it's, if you're the model Rick Martel and you go out to a bar, you got to act like a fucking model.
Right.
Because that's your character.
So, like, you have a spray bottle of arrogance, I believe.
Absolutely, you shouldn't. Yeah. Jake the Snake's fucking high.
Goodness, goddamn. Pretend there's a guy, for whatever reason, dresses up like Gallagher, and he sings songs with a band that plays Metallica songs. Then, in like in between songs, he goes, "This is the worst night of my fucking life," but not in Gallagher voice.
I think I've seen that.
Yeah, pretend that were to happen.
Yeah,
that would be breaking. K-fed. That's what I'm saying.
That'd be kayfabe, yep. Or what is it?
K-fed.
By the way, that's a horrible idea. Don't ever do that.
I would never do that.
Absolutely,
and I would never suck you guys into doing something like that either. That's disgusting.
No, that friends actually, don't do that.
Little trivia, that was my first character.
Gallagher?
You know, I sang Metallica songs as I left the ring.
Wrestling,
you
know? Gallagher?
Yeah, I don't know. Pete Gallagher. Something like that, you know.
Fuck you, Gallagher.
Okay, so let's go back a little bit. You've been doing this since, obviously, since late 90s?
99, yep.
99. How do you get into it?
Well, basically, when I was in high school... me and my buddies had a lame cable access show. We're all big wrestling marks, you know.
By the way, that's you and Drew DeNio, correct?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He sent me a text message before the show and said, eat a frothy cup of sperm or something like that.
For me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Apparently, I thought that was some sort of inside joke.
I don't know. Maybe he just wants to
maybe he's coming in a frothy cup of sperm.
Could be. Yeah, Drew's character on the show, his name was Drew Doom. And I think, doesn't he go by that?
It still is. Still in my phone is that.
Oh, there you go. That was
I've released records
character.
With him under him under that name. Mm.
So you're dicking around. You're in high school. You're beating each other up.
Yeah.
How do you parlay that into a career then?
At least money making. High school was lame, and I really didn't feel the need to go to college. And I really, you know, at the time, I was very optimistic as far as the wrestling world goes.
Sure.
And I thought, you know, why not just pursue it, see what I can do. And I looked around locally. I mean, I live in South Minneapolis, so I looked around and tried out a couple different camps and just talked to some people. And they all kind of sucked. I went to, like, two or three different camps. But then I ran into Eddie Sharkey at an indie show, and... God, I don't even know where it was, but after the show, I talked to him and basically said, you know, you come here, you give me some money, we'll teach you how to be a pro wrestler, blah, 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 you know, and the rest is history. So
how much of it is character and how much of it is talent? I mean, what are they looking for when they're scouting you, more or less?
When you first get into the wrestling business, they don't care as long as you have money.
Mm-hmm.
When I started, I was 120 pounds, wet and wearing boots, you know. I wouldn't have ever...
I was 120 pounds. In third grade.
Exactly, you know. At the beginning, it's just learning how to wrestle, essentially, and seeing if you're cut out for it, you know. And then if you are, then you, there comes a point in time when you got to, you know, choose a persona, so to speak, you know.
And have you always been the playboy?
No, actually, really, my real first character was like a alternative Raven-esque gimmick. Jim, you remember Raven, of course.
Of course I remember Raven.
Yeah, I was Damian Navarro. That was my...
Oh, nice. That's
deep.
I like that. That long blonde hair, jeans, you know.
Sounds like a thinker. He sounds like an intellectual.
He was depressed.
Oh. Yeah. Raven was intellectual and depressed and Jewish.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. What's that last one?
He was Jewish.
No, thank you.
Wow.
Scott Levy.
Here we go. It starts early.
So did at some point your character evolve into something else and become what it is now? What exactly is your persona now?
Persona now is Playboy Pete Huge, and it's not far off from, like, my true self, and that's where the best wrestling personas are.
He's like a big Twins fan that smokes cigarettes and gets really drunk?
Essentially, yes. After the show, maybe, you know. But with Damian Navarro, what happened was, I didn't look professional because I was wearing jeans and a wife beater, you know, and you need gear and stuff like that.
You can't look like a stepdad when you're trying to kick somebody's ass.
Unless that's your persona.
18-year-old stepdad, I know, you know.
Those are the worst.
Worked for the Sandman, actually. Zubas and a freaking t-shirt.
Sandman does, yeah. He's a drunk, too.
Absolutely.
But one of the vets at the time, a guy named Dick Blood, pulled me aside and said, hey.
Wait, what? Record scratch.
Who Dick told Blood.
You that? Dick Whoa. Blood, yeah. Dirty Dick Blood.
Oh, okay.
That was his name. You know, that's actually his real name. His real name is Richard Blood.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
Wait, that's Blood is his actual last name. Yeah. Where is that
from? He should hang out with my dad, Dirty Rick Jizz. That train wrecked. All right, man, we're off.
Right. But he pulled me aside and said, you know, you don't look professional, blah, blah, blah. You got to get some gear. No one's going to book you otherwise. You know, if you want to keep working, I mean, you're already skinny as hell. You got to look at least a little bit like a professional wrestler. And so that's when I don't know, went and started soul searching long and hard and somehow came up with Playboy PD, you know, basically cut my hair and put on some pants, you know.
Did people wonder what happened to Damian Navarro then?
No, he wasn't very popular.
Nobody liked him?
No. He wasn't along that long, but, you know.
You don't ever pull him out for old timey sake?
Like a reunion show?
No one wants to see Damian Navarro, I'll tell you that much.
I do.
I like the name, Damian Navarro.
I do, too.
It was based off of Dave Navarro and, you know, and some sort of...
Damian Demento?
Yeah, something like that.
Damn it, Jim. All right, so when was this, like early 2000s, you turn into the Playboy?
Yeah, essentially, yep.
And then just things start taking off from there? And
yeah, pretty much. You know, I mean, you start cutting your teeth, like me and Hoof, you know, feuded, God, for like pretty much nonstop for like a year and a half, 2 years. It's just me and him up and down all over the place. And, you know, you just cut your teeth, you start working out more, you start putting on some weight, you start getting some matches under your belt, you get more experience, you get more comfortable. Eventually become, you know, one of the veterans of the locker room, you know.
So when Hoof was on here, we asked him about that movie The Wrestler, how accurate it was, and he said it was spot on.
Completely.
Is it really?
Oh, 100%.
I've been talking about the depravity and the drug use.
Oh, I was just going to say, can I tell you how many times I just met a girl and done some coke with her and ended up, you know, in a in her bedroom while she's showering and I run out the door, you know?
It happens. It happens to the best of us.
Oh, right. Yeah, sure.
So when you're getting, you know, when you're coming up, you're feuding with Hoof, you know, what is it, like First Ave? Where are the big venues around here?
First Ave's the biggest, I'd say. I mean, that's by far the most fun. I mean, having 700 people screaming at you, and it's like a rock concert atmosphere, you know. You got good sound system,
I've had
lights.
A blast there on numerous occasions.
Yeah, I'm always jealous because all my friends come and watch me and they get all tanked and everything like that and tell me how
so
awesome.
You can't, it's amazing. Do you get fucked up before you?
No,
you can't? Or
well, you can. You? Some people do, but
Sandman was pretty
yeah, well, I was about saying there. I did once with a promotion MPW was doing. Remember X-Fest, during X-Fest, sure. They were doing some stuff there, and I was camping out with my buddies and said, hey, if you need me, let me know, you know, shoot me a call, and they called me at, like, I don't know, like, noon or something, and I'd already been drinking for, like, 4 straight hours, you know, and I hitched a ride on a truck, and I was working, I actually was working.
Is there a pig in a bale of hay in
Yeah,
the back?
Pretty much, you know. I actually was working Hoof, and it was one of the God, I still have it on tape, but it was one of my worst matches ever. I mean, I was intoxicated. I was trying so hard to maintain, but it just wasn't working out. And
so even drunk as shit, you can beat up Brody Hoofer.
I think he got the upper hand on me that
time. Did.
Oh, okay. The crowd was pretty pro Slayer and anti Gay Boy Pete that night, so they weren't having much for me. So the odds of me walking out of there unscathed were quite small.
Once again, that you can successfully get your ass kicked when you're drunk. I've proved it many times.
For those people who don't think it can happen.
So when is the next, is there a First Ave thing scheduled in the near future?
You know, I actually talked to Eric Cannon, the promoter, that a couple nights ago, because I told him I was going to be with you guys and asked him if you want to push anything. But we don't have anything right now, but fall should be soon. There's just no date right now, but...
Okay. Tell me though, those are a blast.
Yeah, they we'll really get us the dates. We'll yeah, add some out here. So speaking of pushing stuff, do you have like a website you want to push while we're talking about that? Your
just
DVDs
my
or
no? Just my Facebook page. You just search Pete Huge. There's a fan page there. I got a Twitter account too. If you want to follow me on Twitter, just
can we get a big sexy Pete Huge T-shirt with your face
you
on
t-shirts?
It.
I don't have t-shirts.
Flipping off
that's,
the universe.
We have to work on that. We need some Pete.
You know what? If you want to buy a DVD and see a highlights of me, just buy Hoof's Best Of DVD because honestly, that's me all
Does
over
have
the place.
Copies of those? He was telling me. That
he's selling copies of those
that
now.
Son
so.
Of a bitch, he didn't tell me.
Well, no. That's the thing is, he was saying on his, he's got like him wrestling Jake the Snake and Honky Tonk Man. Do you got any of those under your belt?
I got Jerry Lynn, former ECW champion. Shit. Wrestled him.
Ring of Honor heavyweight champion as well. WWE light heavyweight champion.
I wrestled me and my old tag partner in GA when we were the Junk Squad. We wrestled Jamie Noble and Frankie Kazarian over in North Dakota once. Yeah, Kaz. And Matt Morgan was involved in that. I mean, that's
The hell did Matt Morgan do?
Nothing. He hurt his shoulder, so he wasn't able to wrestle, but he clotheslined me. I mean, that's
why not?
You know, and I got beat up by Sandman. Actually, you brought up that last time he was at First Ave. I got a cane shot from Sandman, so that's one of the highlights of mine.
Cane like
a kendo stick, you know,
like an Asian.
He has a Singapore
for shoplifting
cane. Yeah, that's kind of his thing when. That a kid in Singapore got canned.
Yeah, I was kind of worried about that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Drunk ass Sam would have been drinking since, 3 p.m. and it's the last spot of the night, Yeah.
Oh, I talked to him earlier in the night before, hour before his match. He was just, I was like, hey, can I get a picture with you? $10. Well, he made me buy an autographed picture of him. Well, my picture with him.
Jim is proving that wrestling groupies exist. Is there a big following locally for? I mean, is the Midwest a big market for local wrestling, or is it?
Yeah. I mean, it certainly is. I mean, it's died down considerably over the years. I mean, it's just not what it was. Really? You know? Yeah. But really, I mean, the big spots is obviously like the East Coast and stuff like that, or maybe Chicago, but Minneapolis is pretty big. I mean, there's a lot of like smaller, crappier feds out there right now.
Is that something that you would ever pursue, moving to a bigger market?
You know, when I was younger, maybe. I'm kind of over it now as far as like, picking up and leaving and stuff like that, But if the right offer came along or something like that, maybe.
As of now, it's just beat up Brody Hoofer when it's profitable. And
yeah, if I got the spare time on my hands, why not?
Fight him in the First Ave bathroom.
Yeah, exactly.
God damn you, Jim, for that picture.
Yeah, it's a great picture.
Which one?
It is.
It's you two working your asses off, sweating and fighting, and Jim sitting there going,
that's right. You're like in the side, like
with
pointing.
A giant red stripe and a Star Wars shirt. Just like pointing.
Did Hoof ever, when you had him, did he talk about that match at all?
I think he breezed.
Did he mention the guy in the toilet?
No.
Oh, okay. So this is a great story. We're brawling, like you said, all over First Ave. We end up in the bathroom, and there's not like a lot of people in there. And I'm in control of Hoof, whatever. I go to throw him into the bathroom stall door, right? Just thinking he'd hit the door, whatever.
Oh, no.
Slams in. It's like hits a dude's taking a shit. It only slams in a little bit. It hits his knees. And I'm like, oh, my God, there's a dude taking a shit in here, And it was quite funny. And, we had a good chuckle over that and brawled out, whatever. And like 2 days later, this is, when MySpace was still relevant. But this dude messages me on MySpace saying, hey, just want to let you know I was the guy taking a dump in there. And shit, he said that was one of the highlights of my life. I was having Brody Hoofer slammed into the door.
Me that if somebody had like the shit courage to be able to do something like that, that wasn't the first time a dude with a goatee blasted into the bathroom while he had his pants around his ankles.
Who takes a shit at First Ave?
Side story, this is completely ridiculous and apropos of nothing, but I went to a wedding party on Saturday, and ended up at this bar called Wild Bill's in Apple Valley. If you've ever heard of it, it's basically Coyote Ugly for homeless people. And and I had to take a piss, and I went in the bathroom with my friend, and there's a line of dudes out the door, which is a good sign. What? And like 20 dudes waiting to piss, and there's two urinals and one shitter, and there's a guy in there just rocking a deuce, staking a shit. Hey, honey, sit here for 1 second. Dude, take a shot. I'm going to take a shit in the bathroom in front of like 50 dudes. And I was like, oh, man, you got balls. Either balls or you've just got a fucking shit. But I don't understand some people's ability to shit in front of a bunch of dudes. It seems like it wouldn't work for me. I can barely shit in front of my fucking girlfriend.
And on that, why don't we break this up a little bit and play a song? We got some local songs this week. People are sending them.
What's it going to be?
Keep sending them in, people. TwinCitiesTank@gmail.com. This is a band called New Labor, and the song is called Airports and Burger Kings. Bow, 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 bow
spinning football, a caustic resin of dying dogmas. It's so far away from here, wondrous land of hovering fear.
Okay, that was New Labor. They have a plug. Ready for plugs?
Plug it up.
They have a 7-inch record release show Saturday, September 4th at the Hexagon Bar with the Yules, the Undesirables, and Teddy and the Turks.
Teddy? Oh, I know Teddy and the Turks. They played after us at Hooli Fest.
Oh, I was there.
Thanks, Jim.
You were there. Absolutely. Yeah. I love the Hexagon. Yeah. I'm going to go out
Hexagon
to that show.
Is my second favorite place to play in this whole city.
Yeah,
that's the first. Terminal Bar?
No, Jim.
What is number one?
Triple Rock.
Oh.
It's mine, too. No, 7th Street Entry.
Okay, shut up.
Jim, now you've
let's
made
just go on a... I want to go on a tiny aside
here.
Balls
sound like?
Shut
gonna,
up!
Pete's going to do an aside. Jim's balls are snoring.
I
want to
go on a tiny aside here, because I went to the State Fair today, and the new thing that they have this year... since we always talk about just eating the most retarded food on the planet,
we don't even
on here,
just talk about it. We do it
right, exactly. But this is sort of a quasi review. I had the chicken fried bacon.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys seen and heard of the chicken fried bacon?
That sounds
is that
awful.
New.
Yeah, it's like the new one of the new things this year is the chicken fried bacon.
That sounds delicious. And I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, they take
is that part of your training regimen?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. As much bacon as I can eat, really.
Yeah, it's like thick cut bacon, and then the outside is like one of those, this is like KFC,
like a chicken fried steak.
So it's a crispy,
right, except it's bacon.
Oh boy!
Wow.
Yeah, and then once you get the bacon, they give you a little thing on the side. It's a little dipping cup full of this creamy cinnamon sauce.
The savory and sweet.
Oh, no way.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's right, salty as shit and sweet.
Wow. The only thing that caught my eye in the new foods is a Korean barbecue taco.
Some Pan Asian cuisine. Is that what you're into?
I don't know. It just sounds delicious.
Is it deep fried?
Is it on
no,
a,
is
how
it
is it available
served?
Then if it's not, yeah.
Is it that's served a, in a hat?
I don't know. It's at the State Fair. Who
they,
fucking
they
knows?
They had bacon on a stick last year, the day
I had that. Yeah.
I was very disappointed by it. It's just it a piece of bacon on a stick. I don't know what.
I mean, it was thick and maple.
Thick and salty. You would love that, Jack.
If you're going to try and kill me with food, at least make it be something I haven't had before.
Well, it's like $3.50. You can get a freaking pound of bacon for that shit.
For $3.50 at the State Fair, you can get, I don't know, cheese curds.
You can go
the honey lemonade at the honey stand. It's a
just
dollar.
Trying to pimp the state.
Honey
fair.
Lemonade?
Yeah, no and you put vodka saying. In it. You bring your own vodka, of course. Yeah, it's amazing.
Not a big state fair guy.
I wasn't either
until last year. No, I swear to God.
I wasn't either until 4 years ago when I started bringing my own booze. It's amazing.
I went there one time. Yeah. I went there one time when I was like 19 and I got in a fight. And then I never went again until last year and I had a shit fucking riot of a time.
Oh, it's amazing. I love just walking
plus
around.
Plus, Dan T was involved, so that always makes it better for me.
Boys to Men is going to be there this year, so
tomorrow.
I will be there. Tomorrow. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Are you going to be there?
No.
I got a couple of friends who are going to be there.
I got shit to do.
Yeah, I got a lot of shit to do.
Get your stinky assholes out to the State Fair and watch some Boys to Man.
Nathan Vanderpool. He's my favorite member of that band.
Is he? I don't know the names of any
of them. It's okay, but you're going to see Weird Al, remember?
Fuck yeah, I'm going on me and Jim.
High five. It's going to be my fourth time seeing Weird Al.
Happened in this house this week.
What?
Nothing.
Kiss my ass. Okay, Pete Huge.
What's up?
Where were we?
I don't know.
Okay.
We were talking about Hoover's
taking
DVD.
A shit.
Yeah, we left off on Brent's asshole as usual.
Yeah.
Well, we all got to go sometime. let's discuss the last 4 years.
Okay.
So you've obviously established a name as the Playboy.
Mm-hmm.
You're wrestling at First Ave, kind of bigger on the circuit. How do you break out from local guy to national guy? I mean, what's the next step?
Basically, what we kind of talked about before is moving to a different market, you know, like East Coast. Like, a lot of guys, a lot of buddies who have made it like kind of started by moving slowly east, like moved to Milwaukee and then moved to Chicago and type of deal. And then when you're in Chicago, it's much closer to the East Coast, so you can do Philadelphia, you know, New York and all that stuff. And just basically, you know, get that exposure out there, have the right people see you, you know, send up tapes to, you know, WWE or TNA and kind of, you know, get your name established there, you know, meet people and be very political, which is something that I can't stand either. Oh, so, boy. You know, but I don't know.
But what what the fuck happened there? We'll take that again. What differentiates somebody who, like, quote unquote, I'm doing finger quotes, has it versus somebody who doesn't?
You can't be a dumbass. That's basically it. You know, I mean, you have to be smart. You have to understand the business. You have to understand your strengths and what you have that people would enjoy. I mean, there's a lot of guys who are in wrestling just to be in wrestling, to get their moves on and to, you know, to impress people or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, yeah, there's sacrifices you have to make and, you know, the road time and all that stuff. I mean, you really got to have a passion for it. Very few guys that make it do it by chance, you know. So, I mean, that's pretty much, it's all want and desire and, you know, and to a certain degree, size obviously has something to do with it, too. You know, you can't be, you know, just a fat ass, or you can't be a little small guy, you know.
Is there a market for the smaller guys, though?
You know, there's not a lot of big guys, really, right now. I mean, especially around here, there's very few very large big guys, you know. So, I mean, it's just kind of like the way things have been going, especially with, you know, WWE, and as far as their wellness policy goes, I mean, the big guys are getting smaller, and, like, you know, I don't know, smaller guys are getting more of a push just to, you know,
because... Is that just because they're more, like, athletic and...
Doink's a little sidekick and... What was
Dink?
It? Dink.
Tommy Davidson?
Well, that's a midget. That's a whole different story.
You know? No, but if you look like guys like
three had midget wrestling.
That is true. Sorry. They're all dead now.
Sorry
Thanks.
For knowing that.
All of them?
No.
Was there a midget holocaust?
A midget hall of fame?
Oh, jeez.
A midget robot holocaust?
Yeah.
No, but if you look at guys like Evan Bourne and stuff like that, who was Matt Sydal in Ring of Honor, like, he's freaking huge now.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I saw him at St. Paul Auditorium like 4 years ago.
Who? Matt Sydal. Well, Evan Bourne now in WWE.
Oh, he's okay. So people,
I'm just going along with
are them. People here branching out into?
He was actually based off in Chicago.
Okay,
and I think Chicago. I know over there, but he's wrestled here before. I've been on a couple shows with him or whatever. But yeah, he's not big at all. You know?
At all. Huh?
I mean, I tower over him. You know.
Is there? And this is going to sound weird, but like every. Like music specifically, but also any sort of art or a lot of things. Is there a sort of like a purist level where people like around here look at people like that go to the WWE as like sellouts, or they're, you know, not in it for the right reasons?
You guys are like the indie rock wrestlers,
right. Essentially. Yeah.
Mainstream.
No, there are a lot of people like that, except for they're like just nerds, pretty much.
But are they? Are they the wrestlers?
Do they all look like Jim?
No, but are they the wrestlers?
Jim is one of the better looking ones, we'll put it that way.
Absolutely.
Holy shit.
No, but are they the wrestlers or are they the fans say sell out? Like, I remember the old ECW shows and stuff like that. Like, you sold out when someone was going to WCW and making six figures or whatever.
Would
is it the wrestlers who get jealous or is it the fans?
I don't think it's the wrestlers as much. When you become a wrestler to a certain extent, you're not really much of a fan anymore. I mean, at least personally speaking for me, like, I was a huge wrestling fan growing up and all that stuff. And when I actually became a wrestler, it's like, just don't really care that much anymore. You know, I'll still watch it, try to steal someone's moves or something like that, you know, and keep my ear to it a little bit just to, you know, stay informed. But as far as that goes, it's really more the crowd than the wrestlers.
So
as far
there's,
as that goes.
There's not a guy that they're going to be like, you know what, Vince McMahon's going to open up a briefcase full of money and they're going to go, sorry, man. Can't buy me, baby. I'm in it for
no
the
wrestler would ever turn down any amount of money. No, no.
Damn it.
No, there's. We're all sellouts.
It just lost its purity to me now.
What about the Bob the Hobo?
Bob the Hobo?
That's like his personality or whatever. And shows
what?
Up.
What
you can't give
hobo?
Him a briefcase full of money. He loses
Vince
persona.
Vince McMahon signed Bob the Hobo.
Yeah.
I prefer Bob a sack of money with a dollar sign.
Bob the Wrestling Hobo.
Run away.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you this old fishbone.
What?
Oh, I know, I get
like
it.
Like cartoons.
I lost my train of thought because of Pete St. Martin's fishbone comment.
Hey, let's go to White Castle.
What? Okay, so you'd said that you're not really interested at this point in your life in making that big jump, or at least making the move to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a next step for you then? I mean, have you peaked as far as like as big as you're going to get around here, and you're just going to soak it up?
As far as right now goes, yeah. Like I said, like reality kind of set in, you know, a while ago. It's just like, sure. You know, I'm not the biggest guy in the world, you know, and I'm not on steroids, so that, you know, kind of takes away.
You got to get on, man.
Obviously.
Look what it did for me.
Yeah, well.
Oh, my God. Oh, wait,
look at all those moles.
Apparently steroids gives you moles.
Gives you moles and a big gut and a drinking problem.
But I'm pretty happy and content right now as far as that goes. And, you know, I mean, like I said, it's not like the offers are out there anyways, you know.
Could you feasibly pay your bills off of wrestling?
It'd be hard. It'd be very hard. Okay. Any wrestler that thinks, at least on this level, that they're going to get by on that is kidding themselves.
What if you did some kind of like musician in the street thing where you just started wrestling people on the corner?
Yeah, you stand outside Block E.
And body slam somebody, you know.
Just choke slam somebody into a pile of lit thumbtacks.
I hadn't thought about that. That's a good idea.
Like thumbtacks on fire.
You call it the fire tack match?
Yeah.
They do it in Japan.
Yeah, well, that's a good idea. I should look into that. I mean, maybe.
Promise me you won't.
You'd be groundbreaking.
A pioneer.
That's the other thing too. It's like, you know, you talk about like making it, and like you still have to work to pay the bills and stuff like that. I mean, if I didn't have to have a real job on the side, I mean, I could spend just all the time in the gym. That'd be a completely different story, you know. I mean, that would be amazing if I got paid just to work out and wrestle on the weekends or, you know, during the week. That would be incredible. But, you know,
so, yeah, it's
the reality of the situation.
Yeah. That's funny. People think that if you do something, especially like music and which correlates into wrestling, I think if you do it and you're not making your living off of it, that you're like, you haven't made it somehow. People like that I work with are like, oh yeah, I hope you make it. You're like, what does that even mean? Like, there is no making it anymore. Like, there's no sort of, you know, some people in the story in music is always, yeah, we were playing this little club and then some A&R guy saw us and we got signed on the spot in this back room and we had pizza and I got my dick sucked and now we're famous. Like, it doesn't exist anymore. That story doesn't exist anymore. And like in wrestling, I think like a lot of people were, I don't know, like I saw a thing on Hulk Hogan where I was like, yeah, it was basically, you know, fucking up dudes for drug money and then Vince McMahon sucked my dick and here I am.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, it's not really how it works for everybody.
No, that's something that I also take for granted too. It's like, you know, everyone in high school or whatever knew that this was my dream, my goal to become a professional wrestler. And if I meet them now, like, hey, did you ever, you know, get in that wrestling? Are you still doing that wrestling thing? A lot of them will be like, that's great. I can't believe you're still doing it. I mean, you wanted to do something with your life and you ended up doing it. And like I would be like, you know, I'm just working my dumb 9-to-5, you know, I got nothing going on. I mean, it pays the bills, but, you know, at least you got to follow your dream and do something, you know.
Well, and you do things to like you said, it's not, at this point in your life, it's not something that you want to do is move to fucking New Jersey and, you know, go audition for all the shit. It's like, you know, you do it to the extent that you want to do it. And somebody's like, same thing with, like, again, with music, where somebody's like, oh yeah, I know, I thought you were gonna, you know, make it. You're like, no, I do it the way that I want to do it. I've always done it the way I want to do it. I don't have any regrets at all. Like, fuck you. Like, just because I'm not playing with Green Day. There goes Green Day again. That's you do it to the level that you want to do it, and then you just fucking have fun with it.
Well, sure, that's another thing too. It's like the wrestling business is a dirty, backstabbing, gross business to be in as well too. It's like
probably literally,
Got
stabbed in the back literally a few times.
Had batteries thrown at me, but not being.
Don't stand in front of Bob the Wrestling Hobo.
What?
If you ever wrestle at the Indian Center over off of Cedar Avenue, those kids are mean. Those kids are mean. But, yeah, and that's another thing. It's like, it's not a good element to be around 24/7, too. So, I mean, it's nice. There's a lot of wrestlers I don't even like. You know, I mean, there's very few that I actually do like to hang around with. I would consider friends outside of the business. But, you know, overall, it's kind of a gross industry to be in.
Has there been a time when you were wrestling somebody that you genuinely didn't like and wanted to just snap and hit him?
I don't hate really anyone except for one wrestler in particular, but there's one time.
It's Hoofer, isn't it?
I don't hate Hoof that much, but, you know, there was one wrestler in particular that I was forced to wrestle, and I chose to take the high road and be a professional about it.
How do you not initials?
And not snap his neck or sock him in the eye really hard, but...
Man.
Yeah, that was only once. But other than that, you know, no.
Well, I've never seen you wrestle. Let me ask you about your attire.
Okay.
What do you wear?
I have these black, like, leatherish pants.
So you wear pants?
Yeah, I wear pants.
Boom, you already win.
But I do wear a bright pink belt as well.
Nothing
so.
Wrong with that.
All right, all right. A lot of people
remember
who
made reference to his pink belt earlier.
Well, so, here's the way I was raised. Sometimes guys wear pink belts, but at least they're not wearing giant underwear in front of. I don't know. It's that what do you call them, Jim? Thong? What is the shorts?
Thongs?
The shorts. The little Hulk Hogan shorts. Panty briefs.
Tight.
Whatever. Fuck you, Jim. That's a weird choice to make. If you can pick your own attire and you choose to wear the little underwears,
yeah,
kind of strange.
Yeah, well, that works for some guys. You know, I mean, it's standard fare, really, as far as wrestling
is
it, goes.
Is that the go-to?
You got a lot more movement, a lot more freedom, I would imagine.
I do?
Well, no.
I think Jim's saying
like, if
you're
wearing
panties.
When I'm in my underwear,
panties,
I can do flips and shit, and it's fine.
Jimmy, you've never done a flip in your life.
I can do flips right now if I'm in my
Let's
underwear.
Do a flip.
Take,
your,
my
take all your clothes off.
See, you told me this was going to get
right
gay. I didn't believe
naked.
You, but, you know.
Oh, no, always believe me when I talk about
okay.
Pants.
All right. All
right, so you wear pants. The pink belt, we'll let slide. Elbow pads?
No, I used to wear them, but not. I got black wrist tape on my wrists.
There you go.
I wear kick pads on my shins. So
when you fuck motherfuckers up, you don't hurt your own shins?
Yeah, pretty much.
Good,
yeah.
Good
yeah.
stuff.
Okay. It hurts them.
You wear boots, or are we talking
boots,
about shoes?
Yeah, boots, okay. Boots, yeah.
Where do you get the boots at?
God, I bought mine off a wrestler years ago, so I don't even know. Most wrestlers go to websites. You can find all
Jim,
over the place.
Where do I get the boots at?
I don't have a pair of boots.
Go back to hell.
Sweet Christ.
Put your pants back on, Jim.
This is ridiculous.
I'm putting my pants
we have a special
back.
Well, at least take your shirt off, then.
Oh, yes.
At least take my shirt off. Okay.
All right. Should we do another song real quick? Yeah, let's break this shit up. When we come back, we'll do some trivia.
We will do the continuation of
Jim.
Twin Cities Tank Wrestling Trivia, where Jim is 0-1.
Right. This is a band called Live from Heaven.
Oh, great band.
I love Live from Heaven.
This is a song called Sedation.
Some kind of sedation.
Okay. That was live from heaven. If you enjoyed that, go to music.livefromheaven.com, which I won't be going to because I'm a Satanist. And every time anybody mentions the word heaven, dicks grow out of my ears.
All right. Satan.
Okay. Choke slam trivia.
Choke slam trivia.
Okay, so the rules here are Jim and Pete Huge, not me, Pete.
Yo.
He will. These two will buzz in with their wrestling trivia answers. No negative points for wrong answers. Everything is just positive. Good. We have, what, three rounds?
We got 3 rounds, 10 questions, and then we have a bonus question at the end. The winner...
So the different rounds are worth different points.
First round is 4 questions, 1 point each. Second round, 3 questions, 2 points each. Third round, 3 questions, 3 points each. And our bonus question is worth 5 points. Now, the winner...
I'm going to nail that bonus question.
The winner. You got to get that bonus
question. Don't
worry
about it. Nah.
The winner will be able to put the other one, the loser, into a wrestling hold.
This is what we did last time, was that if Jim wins, he can pick... Who he wants Pete Huge to put into some sort of choke hold or something. But then if Pete wins, then he gets to pick who he wants. You can pick any three of us.
And it's either
probably going to be Jim.
Either the winner or whoever wins, no matter if it's Jim or if it's Pete, has the option of just making everyone shotgun a beer, too, if they don't want to put somebody in a hold.
Well, Pete can't do that. He can't
drink.
He
can certainly watch.
I can smoke a cigarette.
Yes, there you go. He'll shotgun a cigarette.
Yeah, right. Brent's girlfriend's not here. He'll smoke a cigarette.
I have to take the whole thing in one drag.
Oh, God.
All right.
That would be terrible.
Jim, you ready?
Absolutely.
Pete, you ready?
Let's do it.
This is Chokeslam Trivia on the Twin Cities Tank. Question one. For 1 point, at Over the Edge in 1998, Steve Austin had to wrestle Dude Love. Vince McMahon was the special referee. Who was the guest ring announcer? Nobody's ringing in. We're going to go to multiple choice. Jim?
Jim rung in.
It was not The Rock.
All right.
So that's no points for anybody. The answer was Pat Patterson.
Oh, I suppose.
Ring announcer?
Yeah, he was one of the Stooges.
Okay.
Yeah, as long as you guys both understand what that means.
Owen Hart died the next end of the year after.
Was that
fun fact. A lot of people died that year.
Yeah. Yeah, Jim.
Nobody died in 99.
Yeah.
Thinking of 2001.
Well, people died that year, too.
Wayne Gretzky retired.
Question two for 1 point.
This is true or false?
True or false?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
True or false? Pete Huge, Jim Ripka. True or false? The Legion of Doom won their first tag team championship at SummerSlam 91.
Jim.
False.
The correct answer is true.
What the fuck are you talking about? They won the NWA
WWF tag team.
You did not specify,
you know, son of a
bitch.
You're right, I did not specify.
And they won the AWA fucking
title. That's why I didn't ring in there. Hold on, that's why I didn't ring in.
This is a much more interesting outcome than getting an answer. Jim, go off on your
I'm fucking right. False.
Go.
No, I'm saying false. And I'm right.
This is not a position I ever saw my life being in.
All right.
Well, let's just keep doing what you just did because I enjoyed it.
We'll move on. Jim lost his mind because of the we forgot
because
to
of your fucking
nasty
horrible
boys
fucking yeah.
Whoa,
nasty boys.
Whoa, guys, we're all best friends here. Question three for 1 point. It's still tied at zero because Jim lost his.
No, that was a goddamn point. We'll give him said taking titles.
We'll give him a point.
And he did not specify what in the
point.
And he agrees with me.
He didn't
specify what. Okay, WWE. All right, this is WWE.
Pretty sure. Shut up. Pretty sure that when they weren't they the Road Warriors back then?
Same goddamn
Legion
tag.
Of Doom. You lose, Jim. That's not a point.
I'm say the Beverly Brothers won the tag team titles. No, there was an AWA. They were destruction
crew. If it's coming down to
same
semantics
two people,
and technicalities,
same fucking tag team titles.
If it's a technicality of the WWF.
Thanks for listening to Twin Cities Tag, everybody.
We've been
killed. We gotta go. Next question. You guys ready, Jim?
Ready.
Jim, this is going to be right up your alley. Maniac. Who won the WWF Royal Rumble of 2001?
Jim.
Was that me?
Yeah, it was you.
Okay, that would have been Shawn Michaels.
Jim, you're a fucking idiot because it's not right.
Oh, shit.
Go on. It's not.
Huge.
Will that be
2001 Royal Rumble?
Are we doing steals?
Oh, shit. 2001. All right.
2001. Hold on. Would that be The Rock?
It is not The Rock. Damn. Jim?
Wait, Stone you get cold. To keep trying?
No. It's back and forth. Yeah, it's just... Yeah. We'll do steals. But
no, it was after the invasion. I thought.
But after you get it wrong, you can steal? Yeah. Is that how we're doing this?
It's like win Ben Stein's money.
I think it was his third.
What is that? What happens in win Ben Stein's money? So does he get do you get a point?
What if it's the band win? Was that 2002?
I don't know, Jim. I'm not.
So who won it?
The winner was Stone Cold.
Steve Austin.
Star of the Expendables.
Yes.
All right, okay. So just so we're clear on the rules,
here's
it just
the rules.
Keeps going back and forth until somebody gets it right?
No, it's just one and done.
Okay.
Right. It's if Jim fucks it up, Pete can steal it, and if Pete fucks it up, then it's over.
All right.
God, this is ridiculous. Okay, question four, the last one-point question. You guys ready?
Yep.
Ugh. Jim, at WWF SummerSlam in 1998, Mark Miro and Jacqueline wrestled Sable and a mystery partner. Who was the mystery partner?
Pete.
Goldust?
Incorrect. Damn. Sorry. Jim?
That would be
Sable, correct? Sorry, buddy.
I asked you. It was Sable. It was Hunter Hearst Helmsley. Triple H.
The correct answer is Edge.
No, because she went to Triple... Oh, no. She went to Triple...
When Mark Merrill. Merrill. It was when Mark you guys working out afterwards.
Edge? Really? Edge?
Edge. Yeah, I'm sorry. Jim, I...
All right, score after the end of the first round is 1-0.
1-0.
Wow. Jim is in the lead.
I didn't want to do this again.
No. You're in the lead.
You still got the lead, dude.
Yeah. Wow.
Don't poop.
No, go ahead.
As long as you don't pick yourself to get the chokehold.
Ugh.
Or else we have to shotgun a beer.
Get to.
I rode my bike here. I don't give a shit.
I'm worried my car's going to be towed.
My mom dropped me off.
Jim will give you a buck on his bike.
Sweet. Yeah, don't worry about it.
All right, round two. These points are worth... What? These questions are worth 2 points. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
PG, what? You ready?
Oh, yeah.
Jim, ready?
Eh.
Here we go. Question number five. When Edge and Christian left the Brood, Gangrel teamed up with two other wrestlers. Who were they?
Pete.
Hardy Boys.
Pete Huge. You got 2 points, my friend.
Oh,
took the lead.
So good.
Yep. current standings, 2-1, Pete Huge. Question number six. For 2 points, who did Randy Savage face off against at WrestleMania 10, and what kind of match was it? Pete Huge.
WrestleMania 10?
Yep.
Was that...
No time limit. Take your time.
Thanks for listening 10. To Twin Cities Tank.
Randy Savage.
WrestleMania 10. That was at Madison Square Garden.
Here we go. Think it out.
And he wrestled. God, I didn't even know he was still wrestling back then. I was thinking of the retirement match with the Ultimate Warrior, but that's not it.
It's just one of the greatest matches ever.
Yeah. Oh, Christ.
14 shoulder tackles and a fucking whatever.
Oh, God. I don't even know. That's what I thought it was. I'll say, God, Doink the Clown.
Sorry, buddy.
No,
I hate to do this to you.
Yeah.
So, Jim for the steal.
WrestleMania 10 for the steal. Macho Man.
Did he wrestle?
WrestleMania 10. Randy Savage. And what kind of match was it, Jim? What's your answer? Jim,
just throw something.
Give me an answer.
I'm gonna say Papa Shango in a shit match.
Papa Shango in a shit match is incorrect. But I am going to tell you something that you're going to hate. The correct answer is Crush.
Oh!
Crush faced fucking Lex Luger in that goddamn
and
fucking WrestleMania 10.
And a Falls Count Anywhere match.
Wow.
It was Crush.
No!
Is the internet wrong? Is it ever wrong?
I don't think that's right.
Dude,
WrestleMania.
You were so there.
Lex Luger faced Crush before he faced Yokozuna for the WWE title.
No, he did not.
Oh, that is correct.
No, he did not.
WrestleMania 10.
Lex Luger?
Absolutely.
No.
Absolutely.
The main event of WrestleMania 10 was Bret Hart versus Yokozuna.
I'm going to look
yes,
it up right now.
But before that, the Royal Rumble, Bret Hart and
Yokozuna
Lex Luger
beat Lex Luger.
By disqualification.
Because,
but because they both had to wrestle in two matches, Lex Luger faced Crush and Bret Hart faced Owen Hart.
No. Bret Hart fought Owen Hart because they both, Bret Hart and Lex Luger won the Royal Rumble that year. It was
correct.
A tie. But for some gay reason, Bret Hart only had to wrestle Owen Hart. It didn't matter if he won or lost to go on.
Correct. Lex Luger had to face another match too, and Yokozuna had to wrestle
Yokozuna
both of them.
For it. No, he didn't have to wrestle both. No.
I don't think this is correct.
I
all right.
Okay.
So 2-1, Pete Huge. So this is the last question of the 2-point round. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Correct.
Who was Steve Austin's first ever opponent in the WWF?
I guess.
Sabio Vega?
No.
Marty Jannetty?
Nope. It was Scott Taylor.
Scotty Tuati.
Oh, look at that.
Is that his name?
Well, it was his name.
Yeah.
I think that was on WWF Superstars on Sunday morning or something
probably.
Like that. You know.
All right. Well, that was enough of that shit. Now it's going to get awesome. Now we party. It's 2-1. We're close. We're balls deep in this.
2-1 at the end of the second round.
Chokeslam trivia on the Twin Cities Tank with
Jim
Pete Hughes and Jim
lead.
Ripko.
Obviously.
It's okay. We're now in the 3-point
round.
Okay,
now it's still a very, very close game.
I think all of these are incredibly answerable questions for anybody. Okay, you guys got your answering fingers ready?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Question number 8 for 3 points. Who was the manager of the fake Undertaker at SummerSlam 94?
Jim.
Paul Bearer.
A fake Undertaker.
Oh, Ted DiBiase, sorry.
Should we give it to him? Because he answered it anyway.
I don't know. I'll leave that to Pete Huge. You want to give it to Jim?
He gave the wrong answer.
Well, no, because there was another fake under or a fake Kane that came back.
I don't think you get that one. I'm just saying.
Okay,
it's about craftiness here, Jim. Mm-hmm.
Ask me who the fake Undertaker was.
Who was the fake Undertaker?
Brian Lee. 9-1-1.
9-1-1.
All right.
Was it 9/11?
It was.
No, it wasn't that one. It was Primetime Brian Lee.
Oh, you're right. I thought they were the same guy for a while.
You two done?
Yeah.
2 questions left, each worth 3 points in the 5-point bonus round after that. Chokeslam trivia. Pete Huge, Jim Ripka. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Question number 9. Who was Ric Flair's last WWF opponent in the winter of 92? Pete Huge.
Mr. Perfect Kurt Hennig.
That is incorrect.
What?
Yeah.
No, he lost a fucking retirement match.
Loser leaves town on Raw.
I'm just saying. It's not what it says.
That's what you were going to say, right?
Yes, that's exactly what I would have said.
It's not even one of the
Upon challenging, we've judged
upon the internet lied to
review.
Us.
Upon, we took
reviewed
it up to Toronto.
Tape.
Pete Huge gets 3 points.
Pete
for
Huge
that
took 3 points, which leaves Jim with really, I mean, you're in kind of dire straits here, buddy.
2-5? 2-4?
Yeah, 5-2.
5-2.
All right.
Oh,
last 3-point question. This really is going to decide. And we've got the 5-point bonus after this, but
absolutely.
Thanks, Wibbler.
All right.
No!
Okay, this is kind of deep, but I think you guys can get this. Question number 10 for 3 points. If Jim gets it, it's a tie game. Pete gets it, it's kind of out of the question for Jim. Number 10. When Kurt Angle wrestled Taz for the first time at Royal Rumble 2000, Taz won. According to Kurt Angle, he was still undefeated. Why?
Jim.
Because he didn't know he was fighting Taz.
Huh?
It was a fucking surprise.
No.
Surprise.
This is a surprise.
It was because they did the whole countdown thing.
I'm aware.
Yeah, and he was surprised. He was caught off guard.
But Kurt Angle thought that he should be undefeated still, even though Taz won. Why did he think?
Oh, because he was never pinned.
It's kind of right, but
it's open to interpretation. Maybe he was pissed about a lot of things.
He had a rough week that week. No, that's actually, I'm going to give that to you because the correct answer is that Taz choked
out.
Him out.
Yeah, he tapped out.
So he wasn't pinned. So we'll give that to Jim.
Jim,
this is ridiculous, you
three
guys. 5-5
points.
Going into the bonus round. The winner,
yes, tied up at the end of the round 3.
No, we haven't had this.
I'm kind of nervous.
I'm not.
We're all nervous.
Yeah.
That guy looks like
nervous.
Tom Green.
He does.
Okay. You guys ready?
Yahoo. Oh, it's for all the
whoever
the
answers this question. Let's go over the stakes again. Jim, if you win, you decide either A, who Pete chokes out or puts in some weird move, and if we all just shotgun a beer.
I mean,
if Pete wins, he chokes you to death forever. Until you die.
He'll be
can he get the option
blue.
Of shotgunning a beer?
Pete doesn't have that choice.
No, no.
He's worked too hard.
There's a reason we call it choke slam trivia.
Yeah,
somebody's gotta get choke the F out.
I'm gonna get your tapping hands ready because this this is big news.
Ready, set, go.
This is the bonus question for all the marbles. It's for 5 points, but it could be worth half a point. You'd still win.
Totally.
What was the team of Jerry Lawler, Triple H, Mabel, and Isaac Yankem known as in the 1995 Survivor Series?
Jesus Christ.
What was their name?
In the what year?
1995 95? Survivor Series.
Who was
Jerry
it?
Lawler, Triple H, Mabel, and Isaac Yankem. It's good radio right here.
King's Court?
I don't know.
That is incorrect.
Pete Huge for the steal.
Pete Huge for the win. I mean, you can
who
really...
Who is it? Jerry Lawler, Triple H, Mabel, and Dr. Mabel. Isaac Yankem.
Yep.
Do we have
the King's
a
King's Men?
That is also incorrect. Wow.
Wow, that's just obscure.
The correct answer was the Royals.
Oh, see, you
guys were close. You were on the right.
Which means we go to...
Do you have a tiebreaker question?
I'm going to get one now.
Okay.
We'll go through. Oh, this is you guys know this one for sure.
All right.
For all the marbles, Chokeslam trivia. What team defeated the Barbarian and Haku at WrestleMania 7?
Pete Huge.
WrestleMania 7?
Yep. WrestleMania 7.
Just what team defeated them?
Yep.
At WrestleMania 7.
Yep.
That would have been.
I think their manager was Mr. Fuji, right, Jim?
Yeah. I want to say the Rockers.
Fuck! We got a winner! Oh, choke slam trivia. Jim Ripka.
Wow, don't hurt your phone there, bud.
Oh, it's a Virgin Mobile.
Oh,
it doesn't matter. It's cool. It's a Virgin Mobile.
Oh, we went into overtime on that one.
Wow. A fucking minute before you had it.
Sorry, buddy.
Same shit happened to me the last time.
Aw, Jim, you did a great job.
I hit it, and then like 9 minutes of goddamn answer the question.
At least I got it right, though. You know,
I would have gotten it right a goddamn minute before you did.
This is awesome.
You should have rung in first.
Well, yeah.
I beat you to it.
Man, sorry, buddy.
That's all it is. You know,
Pete Huge is our winner.
Whatever, yeah.
Winner of choke slams.
Jim's really pissed.
Jim is upset.
Don't worry, you know. Why are you pissed?
Jim.
I lose.
Jim.
What?
You did a great job.
Oh, whatever.
You did a great job.
I think you did a good job. I mean.
You obviously know wrestling more than anybody in this whole world.
Obviously not.
Except for me and Hoof.
I lose every fucking goddamn.
Well, you just gotta. Look, it's all about buzzer skills. That's like what they say in Jeopardy.
No, I'm not.
Jim Ripka, ladies and gentlemen. Jim Ripka. He'll be back later on this evening. Tip your waitresses. Jim Ripka.
Wrestling goddamn trivia thing again. Bullshit.
We'll be performing at the Bennigans off of 494. And
he's upset at me. Even though he knows more about wrestling than I'll ever learn in my entire life.
That's bullshit.
All right.
It's okay.
So, Pete Huge gets to pick somebody to choke out.
Well, it's Jim, obviously.
Okay.
Is there something you can do to Jim that's going to make him feel good about himself? Can you jerk him off or something?
I don't know. You know, I mean, I don't want to, like, choke him out. I mean, I don't want him to lose brain cells.
Could we do, like, a chicken wing or something? Or?
All right, Jim.
Jim,
what would make you feel better, Jim?
What?
Jim, pick up your microphone.
Jim, what's going to make you feel better? What can we do
wrong,
for you?
Buddy? Come on.
Jim, you had a great showing again. Jim, you did a great job.
Jim.
I could chop you. How about that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
I'm pretty proud of yourself.
All right, we'll do the chop. You want to get a mic on there? You can take off your shirt?
Yeah.
Pete has chosen to shirtlessly...
Give me Jim's mic.
Pete has chosen to shirtlessly chop Jim.
Shirtless?
And it's not like it was a whitewash. Jim, you went into OT with the man. Jesus Christ, it's his job. Okay, so hold on. We're going to get the sound of a chop. Jim, are those ladybugs on your boxer shorts?
They may be.
Nice.
Are we just doing one chop?
We're going to get a chop.
Yeah, do one chop.
This is Pete Huge, professional wrestler.
Jim's jumping
chopping
up and down.
Jim Ripka, professional wrestling fan. And Jim's clapping, and we're going to go on three.
Let's do it.
Three, two, one. Oh! Oh!
my God.
I saw sparks, ladies and gentlemen. I saw sparks. Jim, you're
resonated a lot better than
It's gonna... Jim, you're in a lot better shape than you used to be. Seriously, you look good. You lost a lot of weight. You look good.
Well, there you go.
You look good. So Pete Huge has successfully collapsed both of Jim's lungs.
Yeah. All right, we're going to cut to a song real quick before we wrap it up. This is Dying Euphoria. This is This Veil of Tears. With an F. You can see them at September 25, 2010 at Roberts in Moundsview.
I love that place.
Wow. Go to Dying Euphoria with an F.com.
Did you wrestle there?
I wrestled there numerous times. I hate that place.
Thanks, Pete Huge, for being Huge. Here.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Thanks to Jim for helping us out and taking a... disgusting slap in the
gargling
chest.
Facebook.com/Pete Huge.
Boom.
Twitter.com/Pete Huge.
September 11th.
September 11th, Biff Sports Bar. October 23rd, Chanhassen American Legion. Be there too. So that's actually cool.
Ah, yes. It's I heard those Chanhassen shows.
It's like the ECW of indie shows.
Nice. Oh, yeah. The
crowds
are
wild,
crazy.
So,
yeah.
Very cool. Well, Brent, why don't you take us out?
Mexico. I got something I want to tell you.
You're dead to me, babies. See you driving around town with the girl I love, and I like to fuck you. Ooh. I just the change in my pocket wasn't enough. I'm like, fuck you, and I fuck her too. Say,